So the Rav approaches Birkas HaTorah in a very unique way, and I will allow myself the license to sometimes skip around and change the order just for the sake of understanding the content of this Yahrzeit Shiur as it was given many years ago. The beginning of this Shiur, which I think is the most important part of the Shiur, because it teaches us how to read a text properly and carefully, focuses on the Rambam, as always, in Hilchas Tefillah, this time in Perek Zayin. The Rambam presents the mitzvah of Birchas HaTorah in two different halachos, back to back, contiguous, in the seventh perek of Hilchas Tefillah. In Halacha Yud, he writes the following. Again, we have to be very careful about how we read the Rambam and listen to every word. Hamashkim likros batorah. What does that mean? Hamashkim, I'll give you a hint, means to wake up. But what does it mean, Hamashkim likros batorah?
I think it's about when you're praying it privately.
No, not praying. We're talking about studying Torah. So he wakes up to study Torah. But I would say that likros batorah means in order to study Torah, meaning he's made a decision that he wants to study Torah. All right, this will become clearer as we go along. Says the Rambam, kodem sheyikra kriya shma. Now we're talking about a case before he reads kriya shma. The halacha changes once he read kriya shma, because I don't know if we'll get into that in this particular shiur.
You're not chayv in Birchas HaTorah.
Correct. You might not be chayv in Birchas HaTorah once you read Birchas Kriyat Shema. Okay, that's not for us now, but that's just on the side. Now, what Torah is he interested in studying? So the Rambam points out, Bein Kara B'Torah Shebichsav, Bein B'Torah Shebalpeh, whether it be the written Torah or the oral Torah, the Rambam has the following Seder Advar. You can't just open up, you know, wake up in the morning and open up a safe and start learning. What do you have to do first? So first he has notel yadav, tchila, which is, again, a separate topic, not for us tonight, but apparently netilas yadayim is a precondition, not just in general, but specifically with regard to Birchas HaTorah. Umevarech shalosh brachos. And he's got to recite three brachos. This is also very important, because had the Rambam limited himself to one bracha, which would be Asher Kitchanim Tzolstin Sivan Al Divrei Torah, then I wouldn't have made such a big deal about it. But the Rambam has all three brachos here right up front. The Acher Kach Kore, which either means, and afterwards he will read, or afterwards he may read, meaning he's allowed to read. So keep that in mind as we go through the Rambam.
Not that he must read? Or
I don't know if it says he must read, because it doesn't say v'chayav likros b'torah. Mm-hmm. He says kodem sheyikra.
It's a heter.
Right, it's a heter. Kodem sheyikra. Before he's allowed to read the Torah, he's got to do the following thing, culminating in Birchas in Shalosh Brachos. V'yachka kor b'torah. Then he's allowed to learn Torah. That's one way of learning it. Now, these are the three brachos, and here we'll read it very quickly. We have the first bracha, Asher Kinshonim Tzolstin Sivanu Al Divrei Torah. Our nusach in the Ashkenazic world is Lasok. Then he's got immediately Harif No Hashem Alkeinu, because yeah, because Harif No doesn't open with a bar, because it's called the bracha smucha lechavrita, which by the way would prove, and again it's for another shiur entirely, that Harif No is a second bracha on the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And the question obviously arises, why you have two brachas on the mitzvah Talmud Torah. And that bracha culminates with the words, Lomdei Torah Lishma Brachat Hashem Nosein HaTorah. We have, I think, a different nusach, do we not? How does our Harev Na in the Ashkenazic world, how does that end up? Hamalamei Torah L'Yam Yisrael. The Rambam doesn't have that, he has Nosein HaTorah. Then,
what do you mean?
Oh, you have a different girsa?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm reading it from the Frankel edition of the Rambam, which means that there is a. Oh no, you also have Baruch Atah Hashem No Sein HaTorah. I just wasn't paying attention because I'm reading it from the Frankel Rambam. Oh no, yeah, I'm sorry. You're right, Joe. You're right. So again, there's a discrepancy between this Rambam and the Rambam here. But again, that's not... There's so many aspects here that we're not going to get into, but... And then the third bracha, Asher Bachar Barim Kol Amim V'Nasal Anas Torah Sobar HaTorah Hashem Nosein HaTorah, which probably is what we call a Birchas HaShevach, and therefore it opens up with a Baruch. That's Halacha Yud. Okay? Now, if you... I don't know what you like to write in, you know, I always like to encourage you to write something in.
I'm sure it's going to be mine.
It doesn't matter, you can write your name on it on top if you like. I think I would encourage you at this point to make sure that you realize, because I don't think it's clear from the text here, that this is Halacha Yud Aleph. In other words, Halacha Yud Aleph starts with the words B'chol Yom. Do you have that?
No.
I don't think it's clear in the text. I mean, at the beginning he says Yud Yud Aleph, but I think it's going to be very critical that we realize that this is a new halacha. And I can tell you from my limited experience in studying the Rambam that the way the Rambam divides up halacha, it's just like psukim in the Torah, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's also in the Rambam very critical that we know how he divides up the halachas. Every new halacha really starts with a new idea. So the Rambam says in Halacha Yud Aleph, B'chol Yom Chayav Adam Levarech Sholosh Brachos Elu. What does that sound like? How is that different than what he said in Halacha Yud, Hamashkim Likros BaTorah? Right, in Halacha Yud he says if he wants to learn Torah, this is the prescribed method, and otherwise we don't allow you to study Torah. Now the Rambam has an entirely different question here. He says, B'chol Yom Chayav Adam Levarech Sholosh Brachos Elu V'Acher Kach Kore Ma'at Midivrei Torah. Now the obvious question is, if the Rambam has Halacha Yud Aleph B'chol Yom Chayav Adam Levarech, he's got an independent Chiyuv to be Mevarech these three Brachos, so why does the Rambam imagine in his mind in Halacha Yud going backwards a case in which you have to tell him to recite the Divrei Torah, the Brachos, and only then study Torah? Do you follow my question? Once he's got this absolute Chiyuv, B'chol Yom Chayev Adam Levarech,
not necessarily the first thing in the morning.
Correct. Maybe he'll recite these Brachos later. So somebody gets up early in the morning and he wants to study, he's got to recite the Brachos. But as a standard, let's say within the framework of coming to davening, or wherever it might be, you have an obligation, B'chol Yom Chayev Adam Levarech Sholosh Brachos Elu V'achka Kori Mi'at Mi Divrei Torah. So what we want to study now is how the Rav views the Nafkeminos between Halacha Yud, the Mashkim Halacha, and Halacha Yud Aleph, the Chayev Adam Levarech Halacha. Now, at the end of your first paragraph, you'll see that the Rav basically asks our question and answers that question exactly the way we did. He says, L'chora ha-Ramam kofil dvarav. There seems to be a repetition in the Rambam. At the beginning, meaning in Halacha Yud, he already wrote, Hamashkim likus pol chayev levarach. Why then does he repeat himself in Halacha Yud Aleph, and he says, Chayev adam levarach sholosh brachos elu? I mean, it's a repetition. And the Rav says in the second paragraph that the answer is very clear, and it's understood. There are two different halachas here with regard to Birchas Torah. The first halacha means that you have no license to study the Torah without first reciting the brachas. The second halacha is a unique, separate, independent obligation incumbent upon everyone to recite these brachas. Now, the difference is, why does the Rambam need the second halacha? He says, the second halacha for surely is justified. We were asking the flip side, why do you need the first halacha once you have the second? The Rav is asking, what is the Rambam adding in the second halacha? The answer is, in L'mashal, he goes out to work, or he's involved in some sort of public project that he's dedicated to, a communal effort, and he therefore doesn't have the time neither to study or even to read the written work of the Torah. Nevertheless, the Rambam establishes in Halacha Yud Aleph, the second halacha that we studied, an absolute chiyuv to recite these three brachos. So let's, you know, if somebody would be kind enough to keep a scorecard here, maybe just write this down. So the first nafka mina that the Rambam has between Halacha Yud and Halacha Yud Aleph is the case of someone who will not have the opportunity on that particular day to dedicate himself to the study of Torah. He's involved in something else. So there, the first halacha, which we call Yud, doesn't apply. But the second halacha, Halacha Yud Aleph, will apply because that's an absolute, unconditional chiyuv. No matter how much Torah he has time for, he doesn't have time for, he's got to recite the brachos.
Classic that the Rambam never thinks a person's a batlan in the first at all.
I didn't follow what you mean by batlan. You mean batlan meaning he has no time for Torah? Or
that he just doesn't give himself time. He's busy with something else. He's not just being... If he has time, of course...
Yeah, he's not just wasting away his time. Is that what you're saying? Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. The Rambam would never think of a person like that.
Now, the Rav, based on this analysis, points out that Birchas HaTorah is not a classical Birchas HaMitzvah. And in that sense, we can create another scorecard, so to speak, in which we contrast Birchas HaTorah with all Birchas HaMitzvahs. He says the following. With regard to all Birchas HaMitzvahs, if there's no mitzvah, there's no bracha. Meaning, the mitzvah itself engenders the obligation of the bracha. And if he doesn't make the bracha because he didn't fulfill the mitzvah, for whatever reason he wasn't involved in that mitzvah, he will not be penalized for the omission of the brachos. Because again, no mitzvah, no bracha. Here, however, meaning Halacha Yud Aleph, the second halacha, we are demanding of every individual, whether he wants to do the mitzvah, whether he has the possibility of doing the mitzvah, whether he can study Torah, whether he cannot, to recite Birchas HaTorah. Correct? So, in effect, the difference now between Halacha Yud and Halacha Yud Aleph becomes a lot sharper. We thought it was just a technical, local distinction. No, it's a very far-reaching difference because it touches on the essence of contrasting Birchas HaTorah with Birchas HaMitzvos in general, whereas Birchas HaMitzvos are conditional on the mitzvah because it's the mitzvah that generates the bracha. In the case of Birchas HaTorah, the bracha is obligatory regardless of whether or not you are going to learn Torah. So what I mean to say is that we have many mitzvos that are conditional. For example, if you wear a beged of dalet kanfos, you're obligated in what? In tzitzis. If you have a house, you know, with a roof on it, yeah, you're in a certain slant, you're obligated in the mitzvah of makkah, correct? And here too, we would say that if you have such a house, you have to make a bracha. If you don't have such a house, you will not be faulted for not making the bracha. If you have a beged with dalet kanfos that you're wearing, you have to recite a bracha on the mitzvah. But if you don't have such a beged, we will not penalize you for omitting the brachos. But in the case of Talmud Torah, even though the bracha is related to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, but above and beyond that, the bracha stands on its own two feet. And we're going to try to analyze the nature of this chiyuv, but be that as it may, it's totally independent of the mitzvah per se. Meaning, the bracha is on the mitzvah Talmud Torah. You would think, well, if there is a mitzvah Talmud Torah, if I'm fulfilling, I'm implementing, yes, there's a bracha. No mitzvah, no implementation, no bracha. And that's how it works in general with regard to Birchas HaMitzvahs. Only the mitzvah could engender the bracha. There's no independent, the obligation to recite the bracha doesn't emerge independently, on its own, spontaneously. It's not spontaneous, it's conditional. But here, we have a spontaneous, independent obligation to recite Birchas HaTorah, whether or not he's learning Torah. Halacha Rishona Kavas Ikar HaRishon. In other words, the first halacha, which we call Halacha Yud, that establishes the universal principle that a mitzvah engenders a chiyuv bracha. That's called birchas ha-mitzvah. So to the extent to which I'm fulfilling the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, I have to recite the bracha. And the Rav adds another point, and we'll get back to this momentarily. He says, if you can underline these words, because we'll have to come back to them, the asur likros batorah b'li bracha. Now, that seems to pop up from nowhere. You know, until now we were talking about the fact that you have to recite a bracha on a mitzvah. You're going to fulfill a mitzvah, you need a bracha. Now the Rambam is saying that the bracha permits you to implement the mitzvah, meaning without the bracha there is no mitzvah. It's an isur to do the mitzvah without the bracha. If you would ask me, I would have said, alright, if you don't make a bracha on a mitzvah, you have been negligent and reneged, or so to speak, in your chiyuv, in your obligation, you fall short in your obligation to recite the bracha. The Rav is going a step further. Not only that, if you implement the mitzvah without a bracha, there's an isur involved.
But why wouldn't you think that there isn't an isur? I mean, there's an isur in eating an apple without making a bracha, right?
Yeah, but why would that apply to a mitzvah? No, in the case of an apple, I'm enjoying the benefit of the apple. The Torah says, make a bracha, acknowledge God. Right? The Gemara says at the beginning of Ketzav Mevarchim, Osir Lenos Min Olam Hazeh V'lo Bracha. If I'm having enough from this world, but Mikey, why is...
It's
why?
A different kind of bracha, though.
No, but I'm asking, if your paradigm...
It's Tzitzis too, right?
No, I'm saying if your paradigm is Hanah, and therefore it's Osir to be Nene without the bracha, how does that paradigm apply? What's the analogy to the case of a mitzvah? To say that if I don't make a bracha, I'm not allowed to do the mitzvah. You know, tell me...
Is wearing tzitzis without a bracha, like, is that mitzvah? Are you supposed to?
No, I guess the Rav says asur, but I'm just pointing out, Mikey, this is a chiddush. The Torah says, the Gemara says, asur lehenos min olam hazeh v'lo bracha. I don't think you'll find, I'm not a bucky called Tarkula.
Should we tell NCSY classes to recite the brachas before they start their classes, maybe? Because the kids probably didn't say...
Okay, but wait, let me just... I wanted to finish one idea. I'm asking a different question. I'm just asking the following question.
Right.
Would you say that a person who recites, who omits a bracha on a mitzvah, is like a person who eats an apple without reciting Bar Pri Eitz?
But it's not a birchas nana, it's different.
Right, so that's what I'm pointing out, that Mikey, the revolution here, the Rav, and I think it's quite sensational, and I don't know if it's the center point of this whole piece, but it does play a role here. It's a secondary point, but very revolutionary, that to the same extent that you are not permitted to enjoy the benefits of this world without a bracha, you're not permitted to implement a mitzvah act without a prior bracha.
The mitzvah of Talmud Torah.
Okay, again, I'm just leading you into what he's going to say as we go along. You have to trust me on that. You know, but you're right. You're right. I do, Joe, want you to think, and I don't think the Rav is absolutely clear on this point, but I think we want to add that to the Rav. But I want you to think about the following question. When the Rav says, Asur likros batorah b'li bracha, is that simply an application of a universal general rule that you should never ever do a mitzvah without a bracha, and if you do, you violate an isur? Or is the Rav creating some sort of new chapter that applies to Birchas HaTorah and to Limud Torah specifically, a unique halacha with regard to the mitzvah Talmud Torah, that you're not allowed to study Torah without a bracha? Again, this is all within the context of the first halach, meaning halacha yud, that if you want to study Torah, then first you have to recite a bracha, meaning without it, you violate an isur, and that's what the Rav is saying here. What do you want to say, Neil?
I think it makes sense, because whether or not this idea of asur likro bli bracha, if that just applies to Talmud Torah or any mitzvah, it's sort of similar to the idea of not being allowed to take hana without a bracha, in that...
No, it's very simple, but the question is why?
Because you have to acknowledge Hashem to have the proper kavan to do the mitzvah.
All right.
So it's like asur...
So then you're saying that the bracha is like a hidden imuch and a mezuma to get my mind focused on the mitzvah.
You have to acknowledge Hashem before doing the mitzvah, or else there's something deficient in that mitzvah. If you don't.
Again, deficient in the mitzvah, I agree with you. But to say, therefore, that's also to do the mitzvah without the bracha, I think that's the Rav's chiddush. I really do. I don't think anyone else has come up with this idea. You will not find... Yeah, I don't think you'll find... I'm not a buck in Kol Torku, but I doubt if you... I defy you to find somewhere, some source that says... Asur li adam lekayim mitzvah or lasos mitzvah. Asur lenos ben adam below bracha. I know those words. Yeah. You know, asur lenos ben adam below bracha. I can find you. I can find to you from the Bavli. I can find to you from Shalmi. That's well known. But asur li adam le lasos or lasok be mitzvah below bracha. I don't think you'll find anywhere. That is the Rav's chiddush. And again, we'll get to it on the second part of this page. So we might as well wait till we get to it. Because right now we just all we need to know is if you could. I really meant to you. You should bracket those words because it's only going to become relevant later. What we really have to know is the first part of that sentence, that this halacha yud is merely an application of a general principle that says that a mitzvah generates a chiyuv brach. That's called birchas hamitzvah. Good. Maybe give me just one minute to get to the end of the paragraph. Halacha shnia, the second halacha, which is halacha yud aleph, that's already a second principle that the Rambam is, a new regulation that the Rambam is formulating, that there's an obligation incumbent upon every individual as an absolute obligation to recite the Birchas HaTorah every day, and that K'moshe Mechuyiv L'Varav Chayom Gimel Bracha Shalos Hanigoy of Evisha. He's comparing it here to many other brachas that we're required and obligated to recite on a daily basis. And this second obligation is unconditional. Then I asked you before the flip side. I understand why I need the second halacha. Because maybe this guy doesn't have the time or the effort, the opportunity to learn. I still have to clip him with the second halacha as an independent, unconditional chiyuv. But we asked the flip side, why do I need the first halacha once I have the second halacha? And the answer is, if not for the first halacha, maybe you would think that he'll get around to the bracha later on during the day, if he fulfills it sometime. Like, let's say a guy right before Shkia reminds himself, oh yeah, I forgot to say Shalos Hanigoy today. So he'll say Shalos Hanigoy now. There's nothing deficient. But what happens if a guy's been learning Torah for the entire day, and all of a sudden he reminds himself, oh yeah, I didn't say Birchas HaTorah, so he says it before Shkia, then he has undermined the first halach of the Rambam, the first principle of the Rambam, that Kriyas HaTorah and the Kriya B'Torah or Talmud Torah, no less than any other mitzvah, requires a bracha. Okay, Neil, you wanted to say something?
Could the difference between halacha yod and yodalef have something to do with whether or not Birkas HaTorah is d'oraita or d'rabbana?
I think so, because I have a feeling that the first halacha is clearly d'rabbana. And I hope did I take the words out of your mouth? Is that what you were about to say?
I mean, it seems like from the second halacha yud aleph that it's like a chiyuv, like maybe that means it could be just a
might be d'oraisa, correct? But clearly the first chiyuv is the rabbanan,
yeah.
Because just like in Birchas Hanenim, the rabbanan established a bracha requirement before you enjoy the benefits of this world. Mm-hmm. So too in Birchas HaMitzvos, the rabbanan established a parallel obligation. Again, whether it's a matir or not, we have to see, and that's going to be the subject of the next paragraph in the Rav. Now, when we get to halacha yud aleph, is that a chiyuv d'oraisa d'rabbanan? That's a very, very valid and important question. The Rav is going to get into that soon. There's a famous sheet of the Ramban. Mm-hmm. I don't want to give it all away at the very beginning up front, but the Ramban shita is that there is a mitzvah d'oraisa regarding Birchas HaTorah, and the Rav is going to try to plug that into the second dimension, the absolute independent obligation to recite Birchas HaTorah. The first halacha of Birchas HaMitzvos, and to view Talmud Torah as no less of a mitzvah than any other mitzvah, and therefore requires a bracha, that's not d'oraisa. That's a rabbinic institution. So, you know, I give a series, I'm not sure if you're familiar with this, called we call it Tools for Brisk. And this Tools for Brisk, I give it up in the north on Tuesday nights.
Where?
At the Beit, or the Bayit, whatever you want to call it.
I like to go.
So please, you're invited to come. It's 8:30 on Tuesday nights. It's called Tools for Brisk. And this would really fit in to that framework, because this is such a typical conceptual structure to take a halacha and smash it into two parts, in which one part is just an application of a universal principle, and the other is a very unique obligation. And we'll see this all over, you know, in so many different mitzvahs where you'll have universal halachas that apply. For example, in tefillah, you know, the Reb Chaim is very famous for saying that there's a universal requirement of kavana, right? Who has mentioned kavana before? Right, so in all mitzvahs you need kavanah. In tefillah, Reb Chaim points out there's a unique requirement of kavanah, and there are many many different examples of this. But this would really fit into the. That's why I say if we learn this well, it gives us tools. It really does. Now, the Rav goes a step further, and he says, let's focus on another fundamental difference between Halacha Yud and Halacha Yud Aleph. He says the following. The first Halacha is absolutely parallel to Birchas Hanenen. Meaning, you're not allowed to enjoy any Hanah, any pleasure from this world without a prior Bracha. The same thing, says the Rav, applies to a mitzvah. And any mitzvah requires a bracha, and you're not allowed to implement the mitzvah without a bracha. This he calls a matir on the last line. I would ask you to underline that.
Where?
On the last line, the word matir. You see the fourth word in that line. So he equates it with the halacha of Birchas Hanenin. You have to be poder this world. It's like Hegdesh. Right, and that's why I call an enemy all of a sudden brach hilu mal because it's hegdesh the Isra Me'ila. You're misappropriating hegdesh, and you need the bracha to be matir. That's called a pidyon, like in any hegdesh of what's called kedushas damim or berak habayis. You have to first do a pidyon, like ma'aser sheni, and then you can enjoy the benefits of it. What's the pidyon that you pay for the hegdesh of this world? The bracha. The bracha itself is the pidyon, and the Rav says that just like a physical object that you want to enjoy needs a pidyon, so too a mitzvah needs a pidyon. Okay? And of course he refers you to the beginning of the perek Ketzad Mevarchim without even quoting the Gemara. Now, I asked you before, and I want you to again keep this in the back of your mind, when the Rav is talking about the Isur of Kriya B'Torah before Bracha, is this really just an application of a universal principle? Because if it is, I don't know why the Rambam has to tell it to you. Is the Rambam going to tell you in every single mitzvah that before you implement the mitzvah, you have to recite a Bracha?
Doesn't he? In a lot of the Hilchot?
Like, I don't know that he does. I mean, in the last part of Hilchot's Brachas, he'll enumerate a number of mitzvos, but it doesn't come to Ramach. You know, let's say he'll enumerate a number of mitzvos because he wants you to know whether or not the bracha could be made before the mitzvah, can be made after the asiyah. He'll ask you questions like whether the bracha should be with an al or with a le, with a lavid. He'll ask you whether shliach does the bracha, does it change, and many other such details. But I don't believe that you can open up every single mitzvah in the Rambam in Mishneh Torah, and the Rambam is going to tell you that before you implement the mitzvah, you should make a bracha. I don't know. Maybe he does. I don't think so. I highly doubt it. If you, I mean, again, in Kriyat Shema it gets more complicated because the bracha on Kriyat Shema is not your classical Birchas HaMitzvah. There will be some exceptions, but I don't think that if he tells you about the bracha before a mitzvah, there's got to be a reason for it. He's telling you something that you wouldn't have known simply based on the universal principle of Birchas HaMitzvah. He's telling you some chidush that applies specifically in that particular mitzvah. So for example, he'll tell you when to make the bracha on lulav, because mida agbe nafik vei, so you might forfeit the overlasiyosa, and therefore, again. So therefore, I would like you to be sensitive to this issue, which the Rav unfortunately doesn't address, as to whether or not the Isur of Limud Torah before Bracha is some sort of unique, special halacha in comparison to all other mitzvahs. But again, the Rav is willing to say that every mitzvah needs a matir. What I don't understand Maybe I'm just saying this for pedagogical reasons, but what I don't understand, which implies that you should tell me the answer to my question, so please think. What I don't understand is, what does somebody do, according to the Rav, if he cannot make the bracha? Should he therefore forfeit the mitzvah?
Hear her kizibor.
What?
And that he could do? I'm not sure if he could always be maharer. I mean, you have to see the sugya balkari and all this.
Isn't the balkari yaster
So the question is whether balkari is allowed to make brachas. What about someone who's naked? You know, is what you call the makom erva? You know, whether he can make a bracha. So what would you say? He should forfeit the bracha according to the mitzvah according to the rav. It should be an iser.
What do you mean that he can't make the bracha? He's unable to make it, or he's in a makom that he can't make it.
But I'm saying he's in a makom on a. In other words, after
there's any onion of where
he can't get out of that makom in time enough to implement the bracha to implement the mitzvah. So you follow what I'm saying?
No.
He's incarcerated in a place for X number of minutes, and after that time period, the mitzvah lapses. What should he do in that case?
You're saying not with regards to Talmud Torah. You're talking about
in general. According to the Rav, is assuming that just again, if I can't make a bracha on an apple, do I eat the apple anyway?
Yes.
You do?
No.
No, for sure not. So what do I do in the case of a mitzvah which the Rav compares to the apple, and I can't make the bracha? For whatever reason, circumstances beyond my control make it impossible for me to recite the bracha. The logical conclusion for the Rav should be that I shouldn't do the mitzvah. And yet there's a principle all over Shas called HaBrachos Eino Ma'akvos. You know, see, I have a mission at the end, I think, of the first parak of Brachos. If you have a Gemara Brachos, we can look for it, about a naked person in Truma. So he's Mafrish Truma without the Bracha, and so forth and so on. Why not apply the rule of an apple? If I can't make the Bracha, I don't eat the apple.
That would imply that this Bracha is Doraisa. All the other Brachos are Durabana, that's why they're not Ma'akvos. But according to this, here...
Nochmal, every single Bracha, the Rav claims... Mm-hmm. Is a matir, meaning it's usher to do the mitzvah without the bracha. He's not limiting himself to any particular. Again, I want to get your brain working as to whether there's a special halacha in Talmud Torah. But the Rav is now comparing every mitzvah. Again, look at the language of the Rav. He says that the first din is an ikar harishon, he calls it. I don't think he's applying it here to Talmud Torah and only to Talmud Torah.
Compares it to Me'ilah, just like the Hanah.
I'm not finding it right now. But anyway, there's a sugi here about a truma. So I tell you what the answer I was looking for, nobody really gave it to me, so I'll have to give it to myself, yeah. Is that the iser of a mitzvah without a bracha is a spin-off. It is generated by the chovas bracha. In other words, if you don't fulfill your obligation to make a bracha, that means that you haven't implemented the matir. But that iser is generated by the chiyuv bracha. If there's no chiyuv bracha, then there's no iser. And then the mitzvah stands on its own without a bracha. Good? So in cases where it's impossible to make the bracha, there is no chiyuv bracha. Once I alleviate you of your obligation to be mevarech, then there's no iser. And then I would encourage you to do the mitzvah without the bracha. So I don't think that's a stira to what the Rav is saying here. But let's go on. Now he says, according to the Rambam, all mitzvos need a matir. You have that on the top of page 2 of your bays? And he says that the asiya of a mitzvah without a bracha is incorporated in the halacha of the Isar HaNom and Olam HaZeveli bracha, that you're not allowed to benefit from this world without a bracha. And how does the Rav know this? As I told you before, I don't think you'll find any source that Kishem That's the Rav's invention. But he sees it in the Rambam. The Rambam, at the beginning of Hilchos Brachos, establishes the chiyuv of Birchas Hadenim. And he says it's a mitzvah midivrei sofrim, which probably means it's derabbanan. Again, you have to know what midivrei sofrim means in the Rambam. That's a gigantic scholarly issue. Levarich al kol machol tchila v'acher kach yena mimenu v'chol anena below bracha moil. Now look at the next phrase in the Rambam. Ukishem. I would underline that word, ukishem. What is, whenever you see the word ukishem in the Rambam,
where do I see it?
It's on the fourth line. Then you should really look at it very carefully. Ukishem. The word ukishem in the Rambam is always a chiddush. There's certain key words, like code words in the Rambam, that always tell you, here's a chiddush. Ukishem shemivarchem al hanah, kach mivarchem al kol mitzvah u'mitzvah, v'acher kach yasa oso. That language in the Rambam is a clear language of a matir. And the kishem is the proof. In other words, the kshem is like ditto marks. Just as the mitzvah of birchas hanenim has to be fulfilled in order to alleviate the east of the prohibition against enjoying this world, so too the mitzvah of birchas hamitzvah has to be implemented before I can go ahead and do the mitzvah. Now, I want to point out to you that if you open up to the Tosefta in Brachos, in the fourth perek, there's a super commentary on the Tosefta called the Chasdei David. Did you ever hear the Chasdei David? His name was Rabbi David Pardal. He was an Italian Jew about three and a half centuries ago. A very prolific writer. Many Sfarim he wrote. All of his farm have the word David in it, because that was his name.
Rabbeinu David and something?
No, Rabbeinu David is a Rishon. Oh. Rabbeinu David is a Talmud of the Ramban. But this is Rabbi David Pardo. I think he was a student in a yeshiva that was called Torah Umada. Torah Umada is not a modern invention, as people may think. But the Tosefta, in the fourth parak of Brachos, says the Fan, Lo yitom adam klum ad shi yivarech, shenemar l'ashem haratzu meloa, hanenim en olam zeb lo bracha moal. And then there's another phrase that has 5 words in it. Ad shi atiru lo kol ha-mitzvahs. Well, it's mamish gibberish. There's no question in my mind that something's missing here in the text. But what does it mean, ad shi atiru lo kol ha-mitzvahs? The subject of this Tosefta is a bracha. And all of a sudden he jumps from the classical Yisur HaNam and Olam HaZeb Lo Bracha to this requirement of Birchas HaMitzvot. So the Chasdei David says the following, Nira li the Hachi Perusha. Can I ask you for a big, big time if you get me some water?
Yes,
you know, from, you know where the fountain is?
Yeah, I'm going to go to wash my mouth.
He says the following, Nirali dahachi perusho, ki omar lashem haaretz umaloa, v'lachain osu lehenos min haaretz, beli bracha, ki nechshav moel, bekodshim, umikoach habracha podeh min ahegdesh, aval hakodesh hazeh nechshav rak kodshim kalim. We have two different levels of kodshim. You have kodshim kalim, and kodshim kodshim. Umosif, and the Tosefta adds, oh, furthermore, ki gadol koach habracha, how powerful, thank you, is the bracha. Asher gam b'cheftzei shamayim, v'zeu ha-mitzvos, ha-nechshavos ki-kodshi kodshim, gam ken, be'inon bracha kodem, you also need this pigeon of a bracha, k'dei l'shtamish b'hem. What concept is he implying here, as far as Birchas HaMitzvah?
That
there's hanah from mitzvahs.
I don't know about hanah, but that there's a matir. You need a matir. Is he not saying that? Mm-hmm. I mean, again, if not for the rov, I never would have noticed this chazdei dovid. But now that I have the rov's chiddush in my back pocket, I read this chazdei dovid. It's meir einayim. He's saying, what is the tosefta jumping here from anenim and olam blah 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 all? Achi atir lo kol mitzvahs. Again, there are words missing in the tosefta, but be that as it may, he says that in the same way that you're not allowed to benefit from this world without a bracha, and the bracha has the power of being poda, in this case, what kind of kachim? Kachim kalim. So too, he says, that the bracha is so great that even with regard to cheftzei shamayim, that's kachim, which is what? Zeu ha-mitzvos, ha-nechshavos ki kachim kachim, gam kein be'inon bracha. And what word can we add now based on the Rav? Being on bracha for what purpose? As a matir. Do you see that?
But so this
he doesn't use the word matir, but that's because he was before brisk. But
doesn't this imply there's hanah from mitzvah?
Again, I don't know what you mean by hanah. There's some sort of spiritual hanah, if you want to call it that, if that helps
but
you.
That's, if it's comparing it to kachim, what did we say? Kachim, kalim, or
to kachim, kachim.
Yeah, so then it's like you're getting hana from it, and it's me'ila. That's the whole comparison. But I thought we said mitzvah.
But again, not hana, you know, not hana in the classical sense of the term.
So it's like a,
you know, some sort of spiritual benefit that you get at it. Because we always say with regard to mitzvahs, mitzvahs lav lehenosnit. So I'm afraid to say that implementing a mitzvah is hana. You know, you do the mitzvah because God commanded you, and so you're fulfilling your very obedient servant. But
so how do we understand this mashal? If mitzvahs weren't.
But somehow, I don't know exactly what the Chasdei Dovid has in mind on a deeper level. Is it the fact that you will gain schar, you'll get reward by implementing the mitzvah? Is that what he means? And therefore, it needs a matir. Or maybe he means that who appointed you, a mortal man who's here today and gone tomorrow, to make a declaration, well, I am going to obey the commander, you know, like as if you're a big shot. Mm-hmm. Maybe that needs a matir. Or on a deeper level, maybe the act of the mitzvah is so holy, he calls it Kodesh Kadoshim, mm-hmm. There's something in that mitzvah that's so holy that you have no right to approach that mitzvah and implement it. You know, you're creating something that's too holy for yourself. I mean, this can be understood, I'm sure, layers upon layers of deeper meaning. My point here was that the Rav never saw the Chasdei Dovid. That I can promise you. He may have known that the Chasdei Dovid exists because he had a sense of history, of Jewish history, and Rabbi David Pardo was a pretty important, writer in the history of literature, you know, of Torah literature. His work on Rashi al Torah, which I think is called Mizmar LeDavid, if I remember, is a classic. But he has many, many works. He wrote on Yoredeya, on Hilchos Tarovos, and many. I think there are just so many works that he published. All of them, I think, were published in Turkey.
The Rav uses the word nehen, like im lamad kodem shivarehu nehen mitorato. Like he's explicitly saying that it is.
Oh, wait a minute. So Neil, you're a step ahead of me. You see, you read a little bit further. Did you not? This sentence that you're talking about. Did we get to that yet?
No.
We did already.
No.
I'll tell you where we're up to. We're up to, and I'll tell you why I'm being very, okay. You know, it's not that I'm trying to play games with you. Why am I pointing this out? Because there's this transition here in the Rav that you can blink and miss. What we're up to now, he says, Ukishem, he quotes the Rambam, Ukishem shemavarcha ano, kach mavarcha ma kol mitzvah, mitzvah akach yaseosa. At this point, the Rav is doing the following. He's taking the mitzvah Talmud Torah and he's plugging it in to the universal rule that before you perform a mitzvah, you have to make a bracha. At this point, I'm suspicious that the Rav is taking this a major step forward, much further. Im lomad konim shivarech, harehu nehene mitoraso shalakodesh baruch. Is he adding some new dimension over here without spelling it out? That maybe this general iser that applies to a mitzvah, universally to any mitzvah before a bracha is recited, that rule, that principle with regard to Talmud Torah takes on new dimensions. Because who really possesses the Torah? Let's talk about the Cheftza Shel Torah, Torah as an entity. It is Torah Hashem.
But he gave it to us.
Why is he saying
he gave it to us only if we recite a bracha first. If we don't recite a bracha first, then it still remains his Torah.
It's like food.
Good, like food. The apple is his. But we're saying something much more profound here, I think. We're saying any mitzvah, again, is like food. You know, it reaches that level. You can't, whatever it means, it's kachim. But Torah is kachim. It's even greater than that. It's Torah's Hashem. I mean, the chefta that you, I don't know if the luav belongs to Hashem. I don't know if the netilas luav belongs to Hashem. I don't know if you'll find anywhere a pasuk or some source in Tanakh that Hashem owns a ma'isa mitzvah that we're about to do. I don't know. You know, before bracha belongs to Hashem and after bracha belongs to me. Right? I don't know if you'll find such a thing.
He's trying to explain, instead of saying mi'ula, why doesn't he just say harehu over ben?
Me'ila. That's what he says.
I know,
he
why says isn't he using the term Me'ila?
He does use the term Me'ila. Keep reading, good.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Umal. But again, I don't know if this umal is just your classical Me'ila that applies A to physical material foods that you eat without a bracha, or B to any other mitzvah amongst the Tariq mitzvahs that you perform without a bracha, a prior bracha, a recitation of bracha. I think he's saying that there's like a special dimension of me'ilah that applies to someone who learns Torah, which is Torah Hashem Cheftzo. It's Torah Sashal HaKadosh Baruch Hu before he recites the bracha. That's what I was trying to keep, you know, that's why originally, if you remember, I asked you to underline that phrase that he had also likro b'torah b'li bracha, and to wonder if that sentence is just simply plugging in Talmud Torah where he could have said any mitzvah, right? Also, lito lulav, alechol matzah, or lishma shofar, b'li bracha. Or is he saying something specifically, a unique halacha? Again, we're not even up to halacha yud aleph yet. We're talking about this universal halacha in yud of birchas hamitzvos. And even here, I suspect that there's a new halacha that upgrades the Iser. And I'll be honest with you, I would even maintain that if I deny the whole Shtickle Torah of the Rav and of the Chasdei David, and I would insist that Birchas HaMitzvos is not a matir, nevertheless, Birchas HaTorah is a matir. Meaning, even if I'm not willing to budge and grant you your premise that a mitzvah is God's, you know, He possesses it and you're embezzling it if you use it and implement it without a bracha, I'm not willing to buy into that. But I will buy into the fact that Torah belongs to Hashem. It's a Cheftza Shel Torah that is purely belonging to Hashem. The Malachi Asharis never even understood why that Cheftza Shel Torah was given in any sense, even with a bracha, for a man, mortal man, to enjoy. It belongs up in Shamayim. Until HaKadosh Baruch Hu announces Lo B'Shamayim Hi. And here, I think we have to, and remember I asked you a question that if Halacha Yud is simply an application of the general rule, the universal principle of Birchas HaMitzvah, why did the Rambam feel compelled to write it here? Is the Rambam going to tell me before every single mitzvah, you better make a bracha before that mitzvah? Kechucha, is he going to go like a rochel, keruchla, you know, through every single mitzvah and tell me, make the bracha before you do the mitzvah? I'm not sure he's going to do that. And if you find a Rambam where he delineates the laws of a mitzvah and he doesn't mention the bracha, you have a right to conclude, therefore, that there's no bracha on that mitzvah? I wouldn't say so. Now, the Rav's point over here that the first halacha, namely halacha yud, is a classical birchas hamitzvah halacha, I find this very odd. Look what the Rav says over here. He says, Omnam ha-bracha rishona, b'tavnisa u'bidmusa, in its structure and its form, Zeya, it's identical in Birchas HaMitzvah. Matbeahu asher kidshanu b'mitzvoso. Does anybody want to comment on this? When you read Halacha Yud in the Rambam, and then you read this line in the Rav, do you have any compunctions here that bother you? Chaim, what do you say?
It should be the opposite.
Because what do you mean the opposite?
The chiyuv for you.
The Rav is hacking about Asher Kidshanu Mitzvosov, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And he's pointing out that Asher Kidshanu Mitzvosov is a classical structure of a Birchas HaMitzvah. That's the formula of Birchas HaMitzvah, is it not?
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, he says, in Halacha Yud, where you have the Nusach HaBrach Asher Kidshanu Mitzvosov, there's no question that the Rambam is talking about the general Halacha of Birchas HaMitzvah. A Talmud Torah, no less than any other mitzvah, requires a bracha. And what's the proof? The nusach of the bracha says Asher Kidshanu Mitzvosov. Anybody have a problem with that?
I have a problem.
Yeah, what?
Because it's really strange, because I don't understand it.
Yeah, okay. But I wanted to get even more specific. You don't understand it. I don't understand it either. But I was just going to formulate a more specific problem over here. What problem? Look at Halacha Yud. Well, you have it.
Halacha Yud seems to imply that if you get up...
No.
This is your intention. Where
No. We said because if you have a mitzvah to do, you have a chiv to recite that bracha. If I'm not being mafresh truma, I don't have to make a bracha on the truma, correct?
Mm-hmm.
If I don't have a house to be bodei chametz, I'm not being... So the Rambam says, if and when you decide you're learning Torah, then you recite the bracha first.
Right.
Says the Rav, this is a classical Birchas HaMitzvah. The proof of the pudding is, because look at the Nusach. It says, Asher Kidshanu Mitzvosov Itzivanu, etc. Isn't that a classical Birchas HaMitzvah? Anybody have a question? I don't want you to all jump at me at the same time, because it's very hard to hear so many voices. Trey Koli Lomish Tamoy.
The Birchas HaMitzvah is on the second.
Is
the second one, not the first one.
Well, no, it's the second. I don't know what you mean by the second.
Yud Aleph is
it's in the second Halacha, you mean?
Second Halacha.
No, isn't it in Halacha Yud? It's in Halacha Yud.
Yeah.
You seem to have always a different text than I do. I don't know.
But is there a half step between the bracha and there's two other ones?
Okay. Well, what? Now you got onto something. Forget about half step. What did you say at the end of your sentence?
There's the Birchas HaMitzvah, and then there's two other brachas.
Okay, so forget about half step. Leave out the word half step. According to the Rav, if Halacha Yud... Please, guys, listen up. If in Halacha Yud, the Rambam is merely taking the universal principle of Birchas HaMitzvah and applying to the Mitzvah Talmud Torah, and the Rav's proof is Asher Kidshanu Mitzvosov, so I have one question.
You don't need the two other brachas.
Why three brachas on one mitzvah? The very fact that this Rambam addresses three brachas and not one, I think, would indicate that there's something a lot more well beyond your classical Birchas HaMitzvah. The Rav doesn't address that at all. I have the suspicion that he deliberately put it away. You know, bury the hatchet on this. Maybe he felt it was off the topic.
Well, did you say the other two brothers were Sheva? Is that what you said before? So, it's not like...
But let me ask you a question. When there's a Birchas HaShevach, does that brach have to come before the mitzvah? I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah.
You know, the Rav's trying to say that the thrust of Halacha Yud in this Perek Zion of Hilchas Tefillah is to establish, hey, my friend, don't think that you can learn Torah without a bracha, and don't think that you can implement a mitzvah without a bracha, just like Hanah min Olam Hazeh needs a Berchas Hananim, so to a mitzvah in Olam Hazeh needs a Berchas HaMitzvah. If that's the beginning and the end of this Rambam, then I don't understand, why does this mitzvah deserve or require three brachas? If it was two, I would ask you on two brachas. Now, I agree with you, Neil, 100%. We're talking about Birchas HaShevach here. But, you know, the Rav wants to show you he's dancing for joy because it's a Birchas HaMitzvah. But, in a sense, he's oblivious to the other two brachas. Why the other two brachas? And the curious rational mind is very disturbed by this question. If the Rav is right, and the Rambam is just simply addressing the halacha of Birchas HaMitzvahs, why three brachas? The Rav may feel that that's already taking us off on a tangent, and he doesn't want to address that. It would be too far away from his goal. But I would say the following, and so far as the other two brachas of Birchas Shevach Vodaya, I don't know why in the world you would need those brachas in order to recite Torah. On the contrary, let's say Doraisa. On a Doraisa level, when do you make a bracha on Hanom in Olam Hazeh?
Right afterwards.
Afterwards. What pasuk are you quoting? The Achalta, the Savata, Uberachta. Insofar as Birchas HaMazon, Mazon meaning food, is your paradigm of Birchas Shemach V'Hodoya, to thank the Ribono Shel Olam, then where do you put the Birchas HaShemach? Before you experience the Hanah or after you experience the Hanah?
After.
After you experience the Hanah.
Why can't you say that?
I mean, you see thunder, you make the bracha after you see the thunder. You see a beautiful, you know, you see the what's it called, that lake, what was it called that I saw this summer? Lake Louise, you know, or whatever, you know, so you make the bracha after you see the lake. Not before. So, you know, the Rav is building up this whole structure here of Aser lehenos min olam hazeh v'lo bracha, Aser lehenos min ha-mitzvah, Aser lehenos min ha-torah v'lo bracha. Yeah, if you're talking about Asher Kitshonim, it's also the first of the set of the three. Nicha, I understand very well. But the other two, which as you pointed out, Neil, very well, are Birchas HaShemach, I'm not sure exactly why. Why not say, you know, we finished learning Torah, we've enjoyed where our bellies, our spiritual bellies are satiated from Torah. Now we should make a bracha. Asher Bach Arbonu Kol Ha'amim. God, you've chosen us. Our Revna is Divrei Torah. What?
The Gemara Brachos has that tefillah you're supposed to say when you leave the Beis Medrash, right?
That's a different outlook. That's a bakasha on a personal level to make sure that you know the Torah was right. Is going to, yeah, it's the right thing. You know, it's going to penetrate into our heart and soul, and it's going to create a, you know, a wonderful relationship with our fellow man. But as far as a bracha is concerned, the Rambam establishes in very clear, explicit terminology that those brachas, all three, including the Shema Fodah, have to be recited before Limud HaTorah. And the strange thing is that the Birchas HaShemach here, according to the Rav, is also integrated into the structure of a matir. And I would suggest the following, that if you only recited the first of the three brachas and then you learned Torah, you might be not only in omission, and I'm looking for a different word, you might not only be in negligence of non-fulfillment of those brachas, what word am I looking for?
I know.
But on top of it, you might be violating an Iser. And why? Why should the Shema Vodoya come then? By the way, in what case do we make a bracha after Liman HaTorah? Yes. Okay. I'm pointing my hand that way. Kriyas HaTorah.
Kriyas HaTorah.
Yeah, after Kriyas HaTorah, make a bracha. So, you know, it's not crazy to think that there is such a thing as a bracha of Yachalto V'Savato Uveirachta on Torah. Joe, go ahead. You want to?
How do you compare Birchas on this world with Birchas HaTorah? The question of whether or not you're going to get hana from whatever you're eating, the question on any of those inyanim, it's not a vadai that's going to happen or whatever it is. When you're dealing with the Torah, you know it's the creation of the Rabbim. I mean, it's not the same thing. You cannot bring a comparison between one and the other.
And therefore, what? So what's
and
your point?
The shevach, sure. The shevach which you're going to have on Torah is a vadai.
Okay, so does that alleviate the problem or exacerbate the problem?
So it has to come beforehand. It has to come beforehand.
Oh, because it's definite.
Because it's a different. It's a completely different.
But again, why is it a matir? That's what I'm saying. Is that part of the matir?
Because you can't. But I'm just saying that the idea of the chalta v'savata v'rat is what is what. What's happening here? You're eating, and you're going to become. You're going to be satiated on account of that. Well, you're not sure that this is going to happen. You know, this is all of Mazar. There's no.
I don't know. I can accept what you're saying, but I just don't see exactly why. No, the Rav is saying that the matir here is Birchas HaMitzvah, and I'm just wondering why we're expanding the matir to include not just Birchas HaMitzvah but also the Birchas Shevach V'Hodoya. That's all. Okay, let's go on. Hadina Sheni. Oh, finally, we're up to Halacha Yiral. And we're definitely treading now on very specific, unique grounds of Talmud Torah. We've finished the classical universal halacha of Birchas HaMitzvah. Now there's Birchas HaTorah under a separate category. Hadin HaSheni is rooted in an entirely different halacha. Thank you. And what is that? He says that there is an obligation that's incumbent upon everyone to learn Torah, whether it's the written or the oral Torah, and proceed before that learning to recite the brachos and bless the holy, awesome name of God who gave us the Torah. Interesting. That phrase in the Rav sounds awfully similar to which of the three brachos?
Very interesting.
To the third bracha, correct?
Yeah.
Asher bachar bonu.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes?
Tell me where, yeah. About Kriyas HaTorah.
Oh, about what we said before about Kriyas HaTorah?
Yeah.
No, what I was trying to say is that it's interesting that when we finish learning, we don't make a bracha. Yeah. But when the tzibur, as a community, recites the bracha learns Torah publicly, then we proceed to make a bracha after the reading of the Torah is complete.
I have a question. If there's no minion for 10, what would we do without...
Oh, if there's no minion, then you can't read the Torah publicly.
Yeah.
And certainly not with brachas. Because the mitzvah of reading the Torah publicly is... Yeah, that's a Kiddush Hashem. That's what's called a Dover Shebekedusha. And a Dover Shebekedusha requires Asar. We'll probably get into that a little later on. I don't know if we'll do it tonight. But anyway, listen to his language. He says, Kol Echad V'Echad Mi'Yisrael... Chayov lil mod, achar sheyivarech birchas haTorah. Do you see? There's a two part mitzvah here. The obligation consists of a study, but study requires a bracha before. That unit of a bracha followed by Torah study is obligatory on a daily basis. Ein ikar akiyum yotzi lepol al yidei amiras habracha. He says the main thrust and goal of this mitzvah, this unique mitzvah, of this obligation, is not the bracha. The bracha is only part of it, but rather the limud that comes together with the bracha. There's one mitzvah, one kiyum, fulfilling Talmud Torah bibirchoseha. It's almost as if the bracha sort of accompanied the Torah that you learn. And the Torah must be studied accompanied by these brachas. And therefore the Rambam says, Bechol yom chayav adam levarach shalosh brachos elu v'achka korei me'at mi'divrei Torah. The emphasis is on the korei b'divrei Torah. The kriya b'divrei Torah is an absolute requirement on a daily basis, but it requires that not just to learn Torah, read Torah, but also to accompany the Torah with brachos. And therefore, the reading of Torah must come immediately after the recitation of the brachas. Not because of the general halacha, the rule that applies in all mitzvahs, that you recite the bracha and then immediately you fulfill the mitzvah. And you shouldn't be mafsik, you shouldn't interrupt between the bracha and the mitzvah. And that's the impression that you might get from the Balei HaTosfos when they understand that after the bracha on Torah you should learn, they quote to Yerushalmi, and this is all in Tosus on Daf Yud Aleph Amid Beis, Vahu Shashina Alatar, meaning, and it's required to learn immediately after the brachos. So again, from the perspective of Halacha Yud, or the way that Tosus understood the Yerushalmi, then just like in any Birchas HaMitzvah, the bracha should come immediately prior to the mitzvah, and the mitzvah should come immediately after the bracha. So too, in the case of Talmud Torah, you should learn immediately after the bracha. The Rav says no. Here in Halacha Yud Aleph, you require learning the Torah immediately after the bracha for an entirely different reason. Namely, Mishum Shegufo Shel Chiyuv Eino Merukaz Bibracha. In other words, the Chiyuv is not focused and concentrated on the bracha, but rather on the Talmud Torah through the bracha. So if you're keeping a scorecard now as to what's the difference between Halacha Yud and Halacha Yud Aleph, the answer is hefsek. Whereas in Halacha Yud, if you have a hefsek between the bracha and the mitzvah, in this case the Talmud Torah, So that comes under all the rules that that apply generally to Birchas HaMitzvah and a Hefsek after the Birchas HaMitzvah. And I don't know that in Birchas HaMitzvah we have to be so careful about starting the mitzvah immediately after the bracha. But in the case of Talmud Torah, we have a whole nother reason why the Talmud Torah has to come immediately after the bracha. Right? You might underline the words Ki Akriya Miyad Liachar Brachos. So that's about five lines up before the end of the paragraph. And the nature of this halacha that requires the kriya to come immediately after the bracha is not because of the hefsek issue, but simply because that is the essence of the mitzvah. The mitzvah is Talmud Torah that is accompanied by Birchas HaTorah. It's almost like if you would look at it in spatial terms, in geometric terms, what you would imagine is that the bracha itself would be simultaneous with the Talmud Torah. It would be like Zachar v'Shomer b'Dibur Echad. You know, you would, or if you looked at it in a physical reality, it would be like a sandwich. You know, you have your hamburger in the middle of two pieces of bread, right? So that makes an entity called a hamburger sandwich. Is that what it's called?
Sure.
Okay, a hamburger sandwich. So that's what the Rav is saying. Now, physically, we don't have the ability of making the sandwich, of eating both the bread and the meat at the same time.
You say really fast.
Right. You can't recite the bracha and learn the Torah at the same time. It's just impossible. So therefore, what we do is we learn Torah, but we make the bracha first. But really what we're doing is we're learning Torah. But Torah, in a sense, in this context, has to be accompanied by a bracha. If we could only do both. If we had two mouths. Oh, here's how I say it. If man were created with two mouths, then from one mouth he would be reciting the bracha, and from the other mouth he would be reciting the Torah. That's not so in the case of Birchas HaMitzvah in general. And this nafkamina, Neil, is not just, where's your scorecard? You were keeping, this is not just theoretical, this is practical. Three. You have it?
Yeah. But how is this founded from the words of Halach Lidala?
Because the Rav is reading it like this. He's reading it, B'chol yom chayev adam likros b'divrei Torah ulevarech sholosh brachos el. That's how he's reading it. Isn't that crystal clear in the Rambam?
But the Rambam just says, "B'chol yom chayev adam levarech sholosh brachos elu be'achar kach koreh."
Right. It sounds like.
The Rav is like,
but the Rav is reading it. You know, what's the acharkach? I mean, like, what's the point of this Rav? You know, he's already said before that before you can learn, you need the matir of the bracha. So, what is he saying? The acharkach. Now, you and I may have come to the opposite conclusion of the Rav, that the acharkach means sometime later down the line. The Rav is learning acharkach means immediately acharkach. And he's asking himself, well, isn't that true about any Birchas HaMitzvah, that there should not be a hefsek between the bracha and the mitzvah? So the Rav is saying, no, here's a special halacha, a new requirement that's unique to Birchas HaTorah, that the Limud Torah has to come immediately after the bracha, not because of the general halacha of Birchas HaMitzvah that we should avoid hefsek, but because of the fact that the thrust of the mitzvah is Torah meluva bebracha. Mm-hmm. That's his gedder, that's his new definition. Now again, in the Rambam, am I convinced that this is the way the Rambam should be read? Is that what the Rambam had in mind? I mean, especially in the light of the fact that we said before that in addition to the general universal halacha that every mitzvah requires a matir, we'll call it the kodshei kodshim of the Chasdei David, there's a special halacha in Torah because Torah Hashem Cheftzo, that Torah, the Cheftz of Torah is owned by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? It's His, it's Torah Hashem. And that sets up an Isur to enjoy the benefits of Torah without first acknowledging God as the Nosei Na Torah. And that would go beyond the normal halacha of Birchas HaMitzvah. And that might be why we find that Torah requires more than one bracha, Asher Kishon V'Tzolz V'Tzivanu. Because in order to get that matir, do you remember what we spoke about Shabbos? That Shabbos needs two brachas. You know, not the general bracha to the matir, kodshim of the whole week long, that Hashem owns the world, but He has a special ownership and mastery over the universe on Shabbos. You remember this? And therefore we require a second bracha. You weren't there, Chaim?
I don't think so.
Oh, when was it? Last week?
I was here last week, but the...
Wasn't it last week? I'm pretty sure it was last week. Maybe you were here physically. Okay. But last week, Chaim, we had this whole discussion that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu has an additional ownership over the world that He created on Shabbos, and if we need two brachas. The regular matir, the whole week long, of Birchas HaNenim is not sufficient. And that was the Rav's definition of Kiddush. I think we discussed it last week, unless it was 2 weeks ago. I don't know. I thought it was last week. It doesn't matter. Yeah. But you hear the Varth? Mm-hmm. So I would have said the following, that in addition to the Kodshe Kodshim, that applies to every mitzvah and needs a matir, there's a unique halacha in Torah that you need not just one matir, not just one bracha, Asher Kishon, you need another matir to appreciate that this is God's Torah. And that would be the third bracha. Asher bracha b'nei kol v'nasa lono es haTorah. God, this is your Torah, but you've given it to us. And how have you given it to us? Through the bracha. The bracha itself is our pidgin, is our payment in which God lets us acquire the Torah that's really His with a capital H. If that be the case, then maybe what the Rambam here in Halacha Yud Aleph is trying to emphasize, v'yachar kach, is that you shouldn't even dream of enjoying the Torah before the bracha. And the Rambam is emphasizing the achar kach, that you need the second matir in order to allow you to enjoy Hashem's Torah. Now you'll ask me, what about the middle bracha? That I would say is not your classical bracha, but rather it's a bakasha and a tefillah, a petition to Almighty God, that our mitzvah in the case of Torah achieve another dimension. And this is something the Rav speaks about in a different Yartzeit Shiur, that the Talmud Torah, unlike any other mitzvah, is makadish the gav. It sanctifies the person. And the Rav in that Shiur, and I think we may have mentioned it in the past, sets up a very interesting condition. He says, it's got to be Torah Lishma. As the Mishnah says in the sixth parak of Avos, that Halomi Torah Lishma is Zochel Edvarim Harbe, that the Kiddush HaGavra is a result of Torah Lishma. And that's why the middle bracha of Harevna Hashem Elokeinu is Divrei Torasko Befinu V'niya Nachnu V'tzatzayinu V'tzatzayinu Lom De Torah Lishma. Now, does the Rambam have the word Lishma? That's the question. Yeah, the Rambam has Lishma, at least in the Frankel edition. You have it here?
It says Yodei Shmecha.
No, it doesn't have it here.
You don't have the word Lishma. Yeah, yeah. Okay, I don't have time here, but you have time maybe, Chaim, to look and see on this word Lishma in the Shinuyei Nischos if there's an issue here about whether the Rambam has the word Lishma.
And the Sefaradim doesn't say that, right?
The Sefaradim don't have the word Lishma?
I don't know.
Ooh, I didn't realize how late it is. Time flies when you're having fun. So let's see if we could just finish this one last paragraph. And he says the following. He says that the main emphasis of this obligation is the kriya b'divrei Torah, and therefore the kriya immediately after the brachos is a unique halacha, and it's not the general halacha of hefsek. And it's part of the gufo shel mitzvah to implement this chiyuv that the Torah come immediately after the bracha. And therefore the Rav summarizes his understanding of halacha Yud Aleph with the last five words. And that is b'chol yom chayav adam lilmod b'livli bracha. And a large chunk of this Yartzeit Shiur, which we'll get to next time, is dedicated to understanding what is this new mitzvah, this new chiv, this new entity that has two parts that are one, that are united and integrated, namely Torah with bracha. What is that connection of Torah and bracha? What is it all about? Okay, then. So we'll stop here. Shkai, thank you so much.
Thanks, sir.